It is Monday, and I am Louis Matheny, and this is Local Matters. And on Local Matters, and on Monday, I get to talk to some fascinating people, and I also get to talk to some of my favorite people. And one of my favorite people in my life is somebody that I met, for me, relatively later in life than I thought I would. She happens to be my, I think, in the South, when we do genealogy, we call ourselves third cousins. So cousin Christy Phillips, and since then, I've stood back in awe at what she does. She shares an interest in mine on a very basic level that I'll just say for myself is about giving back, and that one must give to receive, and the business of what we get when we give. And her official title, as far as a work profession goes, is the Director of Annual Giving and Stewardship at Tennessee Tech Athletics. So I want to focus on that first. Christy, tell us a little bit about that job and what it entails.
Being director of annual giving and stewardship at Tech Athletics is one of the most fun things I've gotten to do ever. Stewardship and giving sounds like something that, you know, when you see the ASPCA or the Red Cross commercials on television. But for locally at Tech Athletics, it's really a game changer for our programs, for our student athletes. And one of the things our director of athletics, Mark Wilson, says quite often is that the whole reason that we're there is to make it the best experience we can for our student athletes. And Tennessee Tech is a relatively, you know, mid-sized, medium-sized college, public university. So funds are tight generally, but we want to provide the best experience that we can. And we have some incredible donors who everything from buying meals for athletes when they travel to giving money for new equipment. And it really does make a huge difference. And so I get to know those folks and build relationships with them and welcome them in when we have events or if I see them at events and ask them how their families are doing. And it's a joy.
I'm sure it is. And knowing you, you take joy in what you do. You take joy in life. And that's one of the things you and I share in common. And that can be contagious or it can push people away. And thankfully for me, it was a very contagious thing upon meeting you for the first time, which was around 15 years ago in New York City. And I believe you were there on work as well at the time. And we have a mutual relative who was my aunt, Jean Evelyn Warren, and your dad, who traded notes, and we both suddenly realized and both kind of nagged at our family, why on earth haven't you told us that we have this relative, you know?
Oh, I gave my dad a really hard time. I'm like, how did you not tell me I had a cousin in New York City?
So, yeah. And we hit it off instantly, and I had no idea what to expect. I'm sure she had no idea what to expect, but there was just this common thread and whatever's in the DNA that comes down the side of our family, which is the Phillips name, as we say. That's the common denominator, I think, you know, with the two of us. And there's something that you and I both oddly love about hard work. There are those that I know that, you know, complain about work and their work doesn't even seem that hard to me. And yet you and I do hard work. So above and beyond having this position and a location at the university, you get out and do several things throughout the year, events that take place in Cookeville. And I'd love for you to tell the community a little bit about those as well.
It's funny, I was at a friend of mine's house just the other day, and we were talking about when she used to be heavily involved in Fall Fun Fest, and I was worked with her on the very first Fall Fun Fest, Melinda Kiefer, and we were talking about how, you know...
I have to interject and say one of my favorite people and somebody like you who has done so much for Cookeville. At a large, and you know, and
Melinda's again, just yeah.
And talk about birds of a feather flocking together. So go ahead and tell us about this beautiful bird of a feather with whom you flock.
We were just, you know, talking about the very first year that, you know, we came together as a little group of people and we put on Fall Fun Fest and what it's grown to now 20 something years later. And I've been doing cooking on the square. We call ourselves the Rice Girls. And there's about five or six of us, and it interchanges. There's been many different Rice Girls throughout the year, and Melinda was one of the original, and she'll get busy and won't be able to come. And now we have other folks that come in, Melanie Chadwell, who worked with Home Builders Association, and Laura Wolf, who works with Cityscape. And we make all the rice for Cooking on the Square, which is a Putnam County Habitat for Humanity fundraiser. And it's a hugely successful and neat event. And it's 20-something years strong, and I've been with it for 20-something years.
That's amazing.
And then TSSAA is the state high school football championships that Cookeville has hosted. This was our 11th year. And my dad was the first director of that little steering committee that puts it on. And I've been a volunteer for it for every one of the 11 years that we've had that event. Right. And it's exhausting, and it's 15 to 16 hour days. But it's just neat to see those kids come in and have the best time, and the fans come in and be so excited and know that you were a very small part of helping to put that on and pull it together.
Yeah. Now let's go. I'm going to backtrack for a second. First of all, let's go with Rice Girls. You say Rice Girls, and I can see you handing out cups of pre-made rice. You
nope.
just said to me that you make all the rice
yeah.
for. I want to hear the numbers. Approximately how many people do you think you're serving? How much rice do you make for how many people, would you say?
So,
and I'm bad at math. So
well,
know,
and so what
know.
We do every year is we have all the, and it's the very large, it's like the 64 ounce boxes of the Minute Maid rice. It's mm-hmm. these huge, huge boxes. And we go through all of them. And we used to count, and I've forgotten now how many we would count, but it's 3,500 ish people, depending on the weather. If it's, you know, a really nasty rainy year, there may be a few people down, but it's anywhere from 3,000 to 3,500 people that come out. And we don't give anything away. That's why we kind of stack all the rice up in front of us. We're just there to cook it. And then we have great volunteers from, usually it's from the high school that Habitat gets together, and we call them Junior Rice Girls, and they go and they deliver it to all the cook teams. And there's like 70 something cook teams. So we start at 8:30 boiling water, and we've got it down to a science now. There's four turkey fryers set up, and we're cooking rice for 3,500 people.
So you're just this wheel in a way, and that,
yes.
that would be you. There's a great humility I like about you, in which you are a wheel, but an essential one in the mechanism of a larger thing. So in other words, it's that you're handing off rice to people that deliver it to people that are cooking food.
Well, so the 70 or so,
food?
Yeah. Well, so the 70 or so cook teams, they're asked to bring, and I'll forget the number, but I think it's like either 2 to 5 gallons of gumbo or etouffee or something that is in that spirit of New Orleans style, Cajun type food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all set up around the square, just like Fall Fin Fest is. And, but because they're asked to do all that, they thought it would be easier, and we have since day one just provided the rice for them, and we've done it in many different variations. But now we literally cook, I don't want to say it's 60-something boxes of rice. It's a lot of rice.
And for those of our listeners that will be hearing this as a podcast, which can be worldwide at some point, this will air locally initially. When Christy says the square, we are not talking about a modern corporate square that includes a conglomerate of box stores that come and spread around the nation. We're talking about our old courthouse square that's seen a revitalization in recent years, that was headed by Dave Jones and managed by his father and several other merchants in and around there that have made what was once a shopping district that included going to the courthouse square, that fell asleep for some years in the 70s, come back to life. And that brings us back again to Linda Kiefer, who was instrumental in doing that. So, of course, the two of you would call on and depend on each other to make this happen. So that it's wheel after wheel after wheel and gear after gear after gear that come together of people like Christy, people like Melinda Kiefer, who are here to better what we already know has been called one of the most thriving micropolitans, which is the term for this size town, which has a small town feel, is not a metropolitan, but grows in rapid numbers, has seen very few, if ever, economic slumps, and just keeps taking little steps forward because of people like you.
Well, at TSSAA, there's somewhere between 25 and 40,000 people, again, depending on weather and the teams that come in, but that are here for 3 days. So that's a huge economic impact on this community. And the chamber estimates it's anywhere from $3 to $5 million in tax revenues. And that makes a huge difference in our community to have that event here and to have those people coming in. Plus, it's a great window on this community. People, oh, I didn't even know all this was here. Oh, how great this is. Because Fall Creek Falls is just down the road, and Cummins Falls, and there's so many. So it gives us a chance to show off who we are to other people around the state that may not have known much about Cookeville before they come to the state high school football championships.
You know, the falls that Christy refers to are a series of waterfalls in the area that in part are due to what was something along the lines of the Tennessee Valley Authority project many years ago, in which dams were placed here and there as a part of a ingenious original idea to harness water power for energy. And as a result, what a lot of people don't know about Tennessee, especially this part of the state in which Cookeville squarely lands in the middle, is one in which has absolutely breathtaking waterfalls and rivers and lakes. And a lot of our time spent in warm weather or on the lakes here, and in the cooler months just going to visit them. So obviously some of the best little state parks in the area. And then the surrounding counties, same thing. You know, we just happen to live in a part of the country and a part of the state in that country for which the town of Cookeville, Tennessee sits squarely in the middle of it all. And people like Christy Phillips were fortunate to have. Christy Phillips' primary position is Director of Annual Giving and Stewardship at Tennessee Tech Athletics, Tennessee Tech University's athletic department. And when we get back after our break, we're going to talk to Christy about how she wound about in this unique position at a university that is generally a position given to someone in a university of a much larger size. But I also just want to thank Christy for taking the time to come in today, because I know she has so many of these affairs in which she's involved. And people like her very often say, I just can't fit it in this week or this month and are too busy. But once again, Christy, like a lot of people, makes the time and gives and realizes and doesn't even think in giving that we get, just that we give. And I think that's a great quality that we could all aspire to. So we have other people we'd like to listen to, and that includes our commercial sponsors, and we want to hear what they have to say. And we'll be back right back talking to Christy Phillips right after that break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson in Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too, and unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
We are back on Local Matters. I am Lewis Matheny, and I'm talking to one of my favorite people and a person that does concern local matters, and quite frankly is somebody who is, I would almost say pillar of the community, though I know you couldn't stand that idea, but a person who's very much a supporter of the community, especially when it comes to our local university, Tennessee Tech University. Christy Phillips, my own cousin, and we say in the South we count by numbers of distance relatives between us, third cousin, we think. And I met some years ago, and since then I have seen an example of a person that knows the value of giving, is one of the more empathetic, giving, vibrant people in this community that I've seen in many, many years, including several of the places I've lived, including New York City. And what she does is she is the Director of Annual Giving and Stewardship at Tennessee Tech University Athletics. This position, as I've come to understand, is the type of position that's generally given to a much larger university. Perhaps we would say that has the budget or can find the right person for that. I think at Tennessee Tech, they knew they found the right person for that. And rather than say, let's wait until we grow a bit bigger, because we would need a person who's bigger than life, who's as passionate about the job that we would want somebody to be for a larger university, and let's go ahead and give that job to her now. Now, I'm probably overstepping my description of how that came about to be, but you tell me, what's your opinion on that? How do you think you wound up in that position?
I think that between President Oldham and Mark Wilson, our director of athletics, there was just the vision there to see the growth that needed to happen to fund some of the things that need to take place within athletics. Athletic facilities, there's a lot of things that the state of Tennessee does not fund for. So we are always trying to find creative ways and things we can do in annual giving. And we're about at the $500,000 mark right now in annual gifts, which is a huge help to our programs. We have 14 varsity sports programs at Tech Athletics. And we rely on our donors greatly. They make a huge, huge difference in what we do. And kind of like all the other jobs that I've ever had professionally, I was the first person to ever hold that position because it didn't exist before they decided to create it and give me the opportunity to work in something that I am. You're right. I'm very, very passionate about athletics. My dad played football for Tennessee Tech from 1969 to 1972 and was a member of the 72 OVC championship team. And so I've been around Tech athletics in one way or another my whole life. I was actually the flower girl for the homecoming queen my dad's senior year when I was two. So it was a neat opportunity for me to get to do something I love for a department that I've always been very, very passionate about.
I would have to agree with you when it comes to passion about sports, especially between you and your father. And your father really, just quite frankly, was a great athlete, one of Tennessee Tech's great athletes along the way. And I know that he would not want me saying that. And yet
he would argue profusely with you on that.
And he would. And yet I've heard it from other people. I wasn't the one that formed that opinion myself. I just kept listening to people and decided that I, you know, wanted to be able to say the same thing. So it comes to you naturally. That's for sure. You know, and I think that for someone like your dad, who's been a supporter of Tennessee Tech over the years, you know, he recognizes the value in giving back. You know, you and I have discussed this odd thing that I decided to do in my 30s, in which I sat down and wrote letters back to, when I didn't have money at the time, to various people that had helped me along the way, put me where I am now, or at that point where I was then, you know. And so I've loved that about you, and I discovered that about you when I first met you, you know, the business of taking a moment to give, take a moment to give back, take a moment to acknowledge gratitude, you know.
I was just going to say, whenever I think of the attitude of gratitude, I always think about you and how you, you know, approach your life that way. And it's, you know, it's easier to approach things that way and to be thankful for, because I do think we sometimes it's easy to lose perspective of how fortunate we are and what a difference small things can make. And whether it's giving someone a hug or asking them how they're doing, if it makes even a little bit of difference in someone's day, then that means everything, and it doesn't cost anything but kindness.
Yes, I agree. And so often in life, we find ourselves butting up against a wall and wondering how we got there. And I've often said it seems like a roadblock, you know, on the path in life. And I can only say what works for me. And I've seen you do the same thing so many times. Just look for the nearest exit. You know, is it 2 miles behind you? Should you go back and have taken that exit, or walk a mile and up and take the exit, you know, if you can't make it down that highway? But gratitude for everything. And it's so difficult in the hardest of times when something's going on to say, how can I find my gratitude in this, when in fact the what you're having gratitude for is the lesson that you're learning. You know, if you don't have the lesson for your learning through that, you know, difficult time, then there goes the gratitude. You know, you just have to find a way to, it's tough, but you're a tough cookie. You know, we come from tough cookies in our family.
We do.
And long lives. What people don't know about our particular lineage, mine and Christie's, mine going through my grandmother's side of the family and being the Phillips family, are people that lived well into their 90s, and our cousin who lives in Laverne, Tennessee, who is going to celebrate, we hope, this year, her 105th birthday. And so people like Christy and myself think about not just the fact that we might have long lives, but what are we going to be doing? Also, how are we going to financially support ourselves when we're 80 or 90? You know, that kind of thing. So here you are still working and loving work, and that's a great thing. And that's why I think people are attracted to you, and you attract like people to you. So that's at least an opinion of mine, I would have to say, you know.
Well, nothing I think makes a person feel better than being complimented, than being told, you know, that, oh, that's, I love that Starwood shirt. I remember when I used to go there. I think it's so amazing that, you know, you still wear it. Little things can make a huge difference. And no matter when I go to an event, just seeing our supporters, and not just donors, but anybody that comes out and supports athletics, whether it's coming to basketball games or baseball games or football games, whose kids play or who have a passion for it, just being around them and they can brighten your whole mood is lifted up because everybody is just so happy to be there and they're thrilled that you know them and ask them how they're doing. And it's a natural high, and I really do enjoy it. And I've gotten to know more throughout the years, the student athletes, and there, we have some just really quality, amazing student athletes at Tech, and it speaks highly of their character and the kind of head coaches that we have and the students that we want to represent us out in the community.
Right. And something I love about you is you also have a great attitude by way of this great opportunity in which you can examine a group of people that people attach a negative name to, the so-called millennials. And while some generalizations can be true and some are just absolutely preposterous and hurtful, I had one of those people in earlier who, you know, Lakeland Gordon, on a previous episode to talk about the fact that she not only works at a local restaurant in Cookeville, but travels every day to do work with the Tennessee Performing Arts Center. So you too are surrounded by young people who fit squarely into that definition of millennials. And yet here they are aspiring and working hard at college and playing sports and doing what they can to build a foundation for their own future. And that has to inspire you as well.
And I think it goes back to, it's easy to generalize a group of people. Oh, millennials as a group are self-entitled and all the other tropes that go with that designation. But when you get to know them individually, there are so many. We have some tremendously great women's basketball players that I've gotten to know, and baseball players and football players, and just, you know, all the sports. I don't want to pick anyone out over the other, but when I think about what they're asked to do as a student athlete, they are required to go to study hall. They are required to practice. They are required to go to class. We have a policy, basically take five, pass five. We want you to, or take 15, pass 15, take 15 hours a semester and pass all 15 hours. So study hall, practice, as well as then when you're game time performing and your classes, and then you go and you have weight training and you have, so there's just, their time is, it's almost like a job for our student athletes. They are, almost every single minute of their day is in some way accounted for, but yet they have great attitudes and they're happy to be there, and they do some amazing community service work themselves. You can often see each of the teams putting up on their Facebook pages or Twitter accounts when they've gone out to read to schools or do something for veterans. So it's when you get to know them individually, it's easy to find the good rather than the stereotypes.
Well, and there's a reason then that this is happening, and that Tennessee Tech University is the great university that it is. And you, Christy Phillips, as Director of Annual Giving and Stewardship at Tennessee Tech University Athletics, can talk to us about how the university physically is growing in leaps and bounds. I come back a lot from my various other homes, and every time I land here, there's an amazing new structure going up in a location. Tell me about 7th and Willow, for example.
So that's going to be the new student, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it's basically the new student fitness center. So it's it'll be everything from, there's like a half mile track that has a slope that you can see in the front window that's on the corner there. You can see the slope going up around as it curves around. It's got gymnasium. It'll have everything. And it's something that the students voted on that they wanted to see happen. So they voted on a fee increase, and the students have funded that. And so that's a huge new great addition to that entrance into the campus there at 7th and Willow. And then on campus, taking up between the boys' dorms and the engineering complex, is the new science building. And it's going to be massive and huge. And so there's some really great and exciting things that are happening at Tech. And it's fortunate that we get to be around and see, because we were behind in getting a lot of things renovated or new things built. So we're excited to be seeing those things now.
And if my understanding is correct, it's on its way to, or already become, one of the many walking only campuses in the country. And it's becoming a fast trend, if I understand correctly.
President Oldham is working very hard to, yes, it'll be a master plan green space for the internal part of the campus.
That's amazing. you know, you and I share a relative who was my surrogate mother, my Aunt Jean, who lamented today the old quad. For our viewers from listeners from around the country that aren't familiar with the way the university was put together, a central part which had a loop and its original structure buildings was shut off to traffic some years ago to prevent more damage to an already older part of the university. And we're going to see a lot more coming to change, especially with the help of people like Christy Phillips. I've enjoyed so much talking to you today, and you and I, of course, could talk for hours, but we have commercial sponsors that have things to say, and we will have you back in for another show at a later time. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.